There's a lamed shakash in this week's parsha. Which we can appreciate from the sugya that we learned about Mila. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah of Asali Mikdosh, that there's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdosh. The Rambam also writes that you can't build a Beis HaMikdosh b'Shabbos v'Yomtiv, and you can't build a Beis HaMikdosh b'Laila. Yet the Rambam writes that women are chayiv to build a Beis HaMikdosh. So the obvious kash is, it's a mitzvah seishaz magrom. If you can't do it b'Shabbos v'Yomtiv, and you can't do it b'Laila, so then automatically it should be considered a mitzvah seishaz magrom. So there's a discussion, what does it mean you can't build it? And does that mean that it's not chal if you build it? So the stipler quotes Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says, yes. If you go b'dievin and build a Beis HaMikdash b'layla tomorrow and you offer a carbon, it's possible because you can't create binyan Beis HaMikdash b'layla. So argues the stipler. So it's not only can't. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. You can look at it and say, well, it's not the zman chiyuv, meaning I can't fulfill the mitzvah, but the mitzvah's still there. He's saying, no, there's nothing there. Because if it's done at night, it's completely worthless. So then why are women chayiv? So the Achiezer, Reb Chaim Oizer, and the Stipler both give the same answer based on a Tosis Arid we had in Kedushin. They say the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdosh is not just the building, you know, knocking the, you know, each thing into it. It's the final result of having a Mikdosh. And whatever you do along that path to have a Mikdosh is also fulfillment of the mitzvah. Like the Tosis Arid said by Mila, the mitzvah is not the cutting of the skin. The mitzvah is all the prep that you need to have a Mila. Therefore, said the Tosis Arid, that's why at 3 o'clock in the morning, on the fourth day of the baby's birth, you're on the phone with the moel, that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is not the action, it's to have a mila done. So says the Achrayim here also, by the Mishkan, by the Mikdash, the mitzvah wasn't just, the mitzvah wasn't the building, it was to have a Mikdash. So whatever you need to do to have a Mikdash, so if let's say, for example, you spend the night time in Shabbos Yom Tov learning the Rambam, Pelchos, Binyan, Beis, and Mikdash, that's also a fulfillment of the mitzvah of preparing for the Mikdash. So they want to use our Tosis Arid and Kedushin Daf Chav Tes to explain Pshat in a Shver Rambam, the beginning of the Parsha. But it's a big kasha. Exactly, that's the answer. That's why women are chayiv. Right, that's why women are chayiv. Right, that's the problem. Because the Rambam himself writes that you don't do it b'layla b'shabbos and yamtiv, but the Rambam also writes women are chayiv. So the kasha was, it should be zman grom. That's a nice lamdash teretz based on something we learned. Okay. But if you think about the whole parsha, truma, tetzavik, kisis, v'yachab, kudei, you'll notice there's much talk about the binyan ha-mishkan. Yet the entire mishkan was a temporary experience. It wasn't a long-term investment. The long-term investment was the Beis HaMikdash. The whole Mishkan, according to the Svarna, was only because of the Chet Egel. If there would have never been a Chet Egel, there would have never been in Mishkan in the first place. The whole Mishkan is a temporary dwelling. So why so much dedication in the Torah to such a procedure? Why is there so much information in Psukim and Parashis in the Torah about a building which was only there because we sinned, and a building which was supposed to be only temporarily, and yet there's still so much discussion? Look at Sefer Bereishis. How many Psukim are there describing Briyas Olam? Very few. A couple of Psukim. I think they say it's a total of 31. The whole shebang, Briyas Olam. The entire world that we know of today is summed up at 31 Psukim. Yet a building that is not supposed to even be there, and was only there temporarily, gets, I think they say something like 600 psukim. Doesn't seem to make sense. Why is there so much time dedicated to Mishkan? What perhaps is the message of the Mishkan? So I believe the idea of the Mishkan is that Klal Yisrael for the first time learns how to be a giver. This is the first time when Hashem says, V'yikhali truma, Hashem says, I want you to learn how to give. Till now, I never asked anything of you. I kind of let you float. You had mon, you had an aniyah kavod. It was pretty much all about you. Now I'm asking you to be a giver. You got to go out of your comfort zone and you got to learn what does it mean to give to someone else or to something else. How do you go beyond your own self-life, your own box, your own personal experiences? Right? Everyone knows the difference between a child and an adult. Babies, they're all about themselves. They cry, they're hungry, they need to be changed. The rest of the world doesn't matter. Problem is when adults act like that is when we have problems. But the idea is that we know there's phases in life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you guys until now have been like infants. Everything's been given to you. You never learned how to think about someone else. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now is the time. That's what's so important about the Mishkan. It's not so much the building, but it's how we got to this building. The entire purpose of this building, even if it was because of Chet Egel, but is what taught Klal Yisrael, what does it mean to give? And we as a nation have to be givers, because we are. Gemara tells us one of the three traits of Klal Yisrael is that we're going to chasodim, that we know how to help, we know how to give. So Klal Yisrael learned in this week's parasha how to be a giver. And that's not a simple thing, and that's a quite important trait for Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's immediately following Kabbalah Satayra. The Medrash says right after we said Nasav and Ishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said V'yikchuli Truma. Why? Because what was Nasav and Ishma? We made a proclamation, declaration. We're all in it here. We're all part of Judaism. Oh, really? Judaism means giving. That's what it means. That's what it means to be a Yid. A Yid is someone who gives, someone who shares, someone who helps others. And therefore, right after Kabbalah Satayra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, now, 101 of Judaism is you need to learn how to be a giver. You need to learn how to part with something which is yours, you worked hard for, but you got to learn how to give to someone else. We all know the famous pasuk. It says v'yikchuli truma. You should take. So the obvious question is: I thought you're giving. Why are you taking? So the classical answer everyone knows is that you take more with regard to reward. You think you're giving, you're really taking. But I'd like to suggest perhaps a different idea. 9 out of 10 times when a person does chesed, forget the next world for a second. Let's think about this world. I find in my personal life when you do chesed, you take more because you realize how lucky you really are. When you do chesed for another person who nebuch is in a bad place, which is why they need chesed, you take more because you step back and you say to yourself, look how lucky I am. I have this and I have that and he doesn't. Okay, the purpose of chesed is not to make yourself feel better, but it's always a byproduct. When you go do chesed for someone else, that's not your intention to feel better, but you will always feel better. I went this past Thursday to visit a member of my shul who nebuch had a stroke, a young fellow, and he needs a lot of therapy. So I went to go visit him and I sat with him in the gym where they give therapy. Must have been 75 people in the gym, all getting forms of physical therapy. I sat there for an hour. The trip was 2 hours each way. It was all the way up in Connecticut. And I came home. It was a very, very tiring day. But I said to my wife, I said, to me, the most chizik I got out of this trip was that I was able to walk out of that gym while no one else in that gym can walk. Every other person in that gym was getting physical therapy because they can't move a body part, foot, leg, knee, arm, back, whatever it is. So I was going to do chesed to help him. I wasn't thinking about myself. But when you leave, you say to yourself, wow, how lucky I am. I have a member of my shul told me he went to visit someone he knows in a jail. From guy in a jail. So he was telling me about the experience, what it meant to him. So I said, what was like the biggest takeaway? He said, the biggest takeaway was that I was able to walk out of it and go in my car and live a free life. So he didn't go to the jail thinking to himself, I'm going to make myself feel better. He went as a chesed. But when he walked away, he said to himself, how lucky am I? I get to leave when visiting hours are over while this guy stays. So very often when we do chesed, it's not our purpose, and it shouldn't be. But it's, I think, almost always, and you can think in your own lives, the times when you've helped other people, it's almost always a byproduct. You help someone else, you realize, wow, I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky. I can write the check, and he can't. Not to rub it in his face, but to appreciate. So maybe that's pshat in the pasuk. V'yikchuli means you're taking. Because every single time you're giving, you're going to realize how much you're taking back because you realize how much you really have. Because you're always going to find someone that has less than you. And that's why you're helping him, because they have less than you. So maybe forget the Olam Haba, forget the Schar for a second. That's fine. But every time you give, the Torah is teaching us you're always going to take more out of, in this world, you'll have a new appreciation and a value system for the things that you do have in life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us in this week's parasha, it's not only about giving, it's about what you give. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask us to give up money? If Hashem wanted to build a Mishkan, he'll make it come from Shemayim. He needs our money. Why does he need our money? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has everything. Why did he ask for our money? Because he wanted us to part with that we hold so dear to our heart. What do we put first? We put first the money. So because we value our money, Hashem said, I want you to part with that is valuable to you. So the Torah is teaching us that when it comes to giving, it's not only about dollars and cents. Right? Not always is the answer to chesed a big check. Of course, every organization would love big checks. But you'll find in life many times the chesed you can do is not always with money. It's with things that are, it's called giving up your time. That our time is money. Who wants to spend 2 hours driving each way to Connecticut? Who wants to spend time sitting at someone's bedside in a hospital? Who wants to spend time on the phone talking to someone? No one wants to do that. But that's chesed. That's giving a donation. It's not a check, because they don't always need your check. This fellow I went to visit doesn't need money right now. He needs someone to sit with him and convince him to do PT so he can get out of there and get home. So that's what we do. People think of chesed as only writing a check. And if I don't have money, I can't help. Very often it's not about money. Very often it's about giving of yourself. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's time. Right? Many organizations don't only need people to write checks. They need people to make phone calls, they need people to help set up, they need people to do other things. That's also chesed. And it's a bigger chesed if it's important to you because you're giving up what's sensitive to you. Just like money. For a rich guy to write a big check is very nice, but for you to give up 10 minutes of your day, half an hour of your day, 20 minutes of your day, that's really giving of your soul. And that we find in the parasha, that in the counting of all the donations, what was at the end of the counting? The stones. The stones, asks the Arachayim Kodesh, were the most valuable. Why are they at the end of the list? So one of the answers that Rechayim HaKadosh gives is because the stones had no effort involved. They were just plopped down right in front of you. All you had to do was bring them. As opposed to the money, you had to work together to get the money. So Rechayim HaKadosh teaches us what HaKadosh Baruch Hu values as giving is not just that you give your soul, but you give what was hard to give. A person works hard, makes a few dollars, and he has to part with the few dollars that he has, as opposed to a guy who makes millions and millions of dollars and he writes a check for, you know, $10,000, which is no sweat off his back. You know, in the very crazy political world we live in right now, it's according to the Democrats, it's bad to be rich. It's like you did something wrong if you're rich. But I happen to have a lot of respect for a guy like Bloomberg. I wish he knew how to stand up for himself in a debate, but that's a schmooze for a different time. Lamaisa, I give a guy a lot of credit. He grew up with no money, he worked hard, he made money for himself. That's someone we respect. And with someone, I don't know how much charity he gives, but when someone works hard and makes a lot of money, and then they part with their money, I have a lot of respect for them. Now, what happens to the guy who doesn't make his millions and billions? Guy makes a little money, and with that he parts with. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu value more? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu values more the guy who doesn't make as much money, but for him to write a check to the shul, his mom is breaking his heart. Because he's going to have to cut back on other things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu values much more that comes with sacrifice. That you give up more. The fact that you have a lot of money and you write a check is very nice, because Baruch Hu loves it, but he loves it much more when you're giving of yourself, because then it changes who you are. When you give of yourself, you become a giver. You don't just become someone who gives tzedakah. It changes the essence of who you are. My kids read a book at night called Ya'al Becomes a Giver. It's a book about a girl who has a birthday. She's very excited about her birthday because birthday means presents. So she's so self-focused on herself and her birthday party that someone points out to her, I think it was her grandmother, that maybe you should think about others on your birthday. So Kachavi, on her birthday, instead of thinking about herself, she gives her grandfather a birthday present who never had a birthday present. Beautiful book for kids to read before they go to sleep. But it's a deep message. We all need to learn to become givers because it doesn't come naturally. Naturally, we're takers. Naturally, we're selfish. We have to learn how to become a giver. So Kosh Baruch says, I want to teach you how to give. I want you to learn how to be a giver. And what does that mean? It means you part with that is valuable to you. You part with that you hold very close to you. And you make sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice. No one wants to give away money unless they're trying to lower their tax bracket. Most of us don't want to give away money. We want to keep it. But we work on ourselves. We part with that is difficult. The other day, my son got a reward for behaving. Got a donut. He's very excited about this donut. He worked hard for the donut. It was Geschmacka donut. It looked really good. I wanted the donut. So he got this donut. And he's sitting down at the table and he's about to eat it. And my younger daughter, who's 3 years old, says, I also want the donut. So I don't know much about chinuch, but Baruch Hashem, my wife is taking classes now on chinuch, so she's teaching me that the rule is just because one kid gets it doesn't mean the other kid has to get it, especially if it's a reward. That's basic chinuch 101. So my daughter's crying, but she's not going to get it just because he got it. So my son decided to give her half the donut. So I explained to him, I said, you realize what you just gave away? You worked so hard for this donut. And to you, this donut is your world. And you gave it away. I said, now to the rest of us, it's okay, we'll go buy another donut, right? Because what's a donut? It's $1.25. We'll go to Dunkin' Donuts, we'll get another donut. But to him, this is his world. His world is this donut. And to part with half of it is mamish giving away half of your soul. I told him, this is mamish devona, this expression. This is Derech Chaim HaKadosh. When you give away that is so treasured to you, it's not about the value. But I worked hard for this donut. I did all the things my mother told me to do, and I behaved, and this and that, and I got to part with it. So much more valuable in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than something which easy came, and then you just give it away to someone else. And that's really what I think the whole mahusa of these parashiyos are, is the Torah is teaching us of the importance of being a giver. The Torah is teaching us how to be a giver. What does it mean to give? How do we part with that we hold very dear to ourselves, which is money? We have to learn how to give. We have to learn how to part with it. And we have to realize that we're not losing, but instead we're taking much more than we give away. We're taking much more. Mitzvah next Sunday, because it's the Sunday before Purim, we will be doing a Purim sugya. Mitzvah Hashem, I hope. I'll be away the rest of the week. I have a chasan in Baltimore coming back Matzah Shabbos. So I hope to be here Sunday morning to say the shir. Not sure when I'm going to prepare it yet, but we'll figure that out. But hopefully, Mr. Shem, Sunday morning we'll have a Purim Shir on Inyani Purim. We'll probably be discussing the Shaila of the Megillah B'Tzibur versus Megillah B'Yochid with a Minyan, the Sugya and Daf Hei Amid Aleph. This Tuesday night there'll be a Halacha Shir on Sudas Purim. I don't think in the past years we've ever really dealt with Shailas pertaining to the Suda itself. When to eat it, what to eat. Some shayles about the Sudas Purim will be in Mitzvah Shem this Tuesday, and then the following Sunday we'll do, and I don't think we'll have a shir next Tuesday night, if anyone's interested in coming Purim night, but I don't think we'll have one. But in Mitzvah Shem next Sunday we'll be doing Mitzvah Shem, I hope to get it together, we'll be doing in Yoni de Purim. Okay, today's learning should be a L'schus Refuah Shleimah to Perel Yenta Bas Brinda, as well as Chayit Rochel Mechama Bas Alta Hudya. Zissel. Okay, we left off over here in the new Gemara, really, where the Gemara is discussing a din. The Gemara says the following. Number one, Tana Rabbanim, Mahalkatin es Hamila. You're supposed to gather the Mila. What does that mean, to gather the Mila? So we mentioned last week, it's really a Machloikis Rishayim, how to learn the Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara, that the Gemara means, if you did not cut the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin, you did the Mila, and you left the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin, so then you got to go back for them. Other Rishayim learn, it's not referring to the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin, but it's referring to a case where you did the Mila, you did the Chaticha, you cut the foreskin, but you didn't yet do the Priya, you didn't pull back the other part of the Mila. We recorded the Mishnah Shabbos last week, where the Mishnah Shabbos says that kol mol v'loy parah, if you did a Mila without a Priya, that's ki'il loy mol, that's as if you didn't do a Mila. We also learned last week that there's something called tzitzit ma'akiv and it's a Mila. Those strands are ma'akiv the Mila, and we discussed perhaps it's not as ma'akiv as Mila v'loy Priya. It could be tzitzit ma'akiv, and even if it's ma'akiv the Mila, it doesn't create a chiyuv karis, and it would not come along with such a severity. But we'll come back to that. So the Gemara says, Mahalkatin es Hamila, Vim loy hilkit, and if you didn't go back for this, again, either according to Rashi, you didn't go back for the Tzitzit HaMa'akvin, or according to the other Rishayim, you didn't go back for the Priya, Oynish Karis, the punishment will be Karis. Frank the Gemara, money, who gets the Karis? Amar if Kahana, Uman, the Moyel. The Moyel gets Karis because he didn't do his job. So why do you get Karis for not doing your job? So Rashi explains, because we're talking about it with Shabbos. The Mila was scheduled on Shabbos, and you show up on Shabbos, and you don't do your job. So if you don't do your job on Shabbos, so all you did was a chavala shaloi b'makam mitzvah. So chavala shaloi b'makam mitzvah is taken iser. So you violated the Shabbos. So maskev l'rav papa uman leimaluhu. Why can't the uman say to the people, I know avdi palga de mitzvah, I did half of my job. Either, according to Rashi, I did the cutting without the tzitzin, or I did the Mila and not the Priya. Now, the reason why I keep on drumming this home is because we'll see we'll be very negay in the sugya today. I know avdi palga de mitzvah, atun avdi palga de mitzvah. I did my half, now you did your half. Why am I held, why am I all to blame over here? I did something.
Who's the you?
Whoever else is around. Other Mailim, other Jews. Meaning, what did I do so bad? I came into the situation attempting to do the best I could. And I did a lot. I got a lot accomplished. I did a good chedek of the Mila. Either I did the Mila, I did the cutting, or I did the cutting just without the strands. I did a lot. Why am I held accountable? Let's see Rashi. What's going on over here? So Rashi, second line. The name of the palge kloimer. When I started the Mila on Shabbos morning, I went all right to start. Thank you. And everything I did was completely permissible. Why am I chayiv? You guys finish up. Why are you leaving me out to dry over here? What I initially did, I had 100% permission to do. So because I started Birushos, it wasn't that I had no right to start, I had the right to start. So now someone else should come and clean up my mess and finish up the procedure. So the Gemara says, you're right. El Amar of Papa, Gadol. We're not talking about a Moel on Shabbos, but we're talking about a Gadol who needs a Bismila, and he didn't do the full Bismila, so therefore he gets Karis. So we mentioned last week, the Kasha from the Nachal Esau, in 1 second. You're telling me that the Gemara is talking about a Tzitzit HaMa'akvin, and you're saying if you don't go back for the Tzitzit HaMa'akvin, you get Karis? We mentioned that might be so, not so Pashit. So maske falariv ashi, gadol. Behedik sibbe, a gadol, it says in the Torah, of oral zach ashel yima. So he mentioned there's 2 ways to learn this Gemara's kasha. Tosfos learned the Gemara's kasha was gadol. It's pashut, a gadol doesn't get a brismila, gets karis. Why do I need a brisa to tell me that? Then we read the Gemara according to the Nachal Esa. No, the Gemara's kasha is not that it's pashut, the Gemara's kasha is it's incorrect. It's not true. There will be no karis in this case. Why is there no karis? Because the pasuk only gives karis for those that are an aral, those that didn't do anything. But since you did something, just not the tzitzin, you wouldn't get karis. 2 different ways to read the Gemara's kasha.
With the gadol, we're not talking about Shabbos, right?
No, we're not talking about Shabbos. We're talking about during the week. And the Gemara's kasha is either one of 2 things. Either it's pasuk that he gets karis because he doesn't have a bris milah, or the Gemara's kasha is it's not true that he should get karis because tzitzit HaMa'akvin doesn't carry the yisur karis.
You can't learn the second
way. Right. That second way was only if you held tzitzin, if you read the Gemara called tzitzin. If you hold it's marvel apart, the Gemara is beautiful. It's like Tosfos. Right. The reason the mile of learning the second way is you answer up Tosfos is kash. That was just a nice shtickle Torah that we had yesterday. Be it as it may, the Gemara is holding in a kash. So the Gemara's teretz, I don't think we'll even get to today. The Gemara is a whole teretz, and we're talking about a case where the question was, am I going to have enough time to finish the bris before the clock winds down? So there's 2 ways that can also play out. That can either be Shabbos before it turns into Matzah Shabbos, or Friday before it turns into Shabbos. But Machloikis Rishayim, we'll leave that Belinadi till after Purim. We'll come back to the Gemara's test. I want the Gemara's kasha. What was the Gemara's kasha? Moel does half a procedure, And the Gemara says, oh, it's Shabbos, you only did half a procedure, Yechayiv Karis. Fractanid the mile. What did I do so bad? I had permission to start. What was the Lashon of Rashi? I had permission to start. V'chabura she'asa b'rishos asa. Am I chayiv? Why am I chayiv for what I did? I mean, the mile is asking, why do I get Karis for what I did? I shouldn't get Karis. I didn't do anything wrong. I did half and then I punted on the other half to someone else. Let someone else finish the job and together we have a successful meal. Okay, good. Good.
We have a din that's coming on to the kavana of the mall now.
Like, good. We'll get to that in a second.
We have a din that if two people do a malacha,
we'll get to that. Blined, we'll get to all these things in a few. I want to set everyone up for this. This is good. Okay. So the question is, what does Rashi mean by this line? Where the Moyle's arguing, he says, since I start, again, he's saying a couple things. I started Birishus, I had 100% right. Now, what was the Moyle thinking when he started this Mila? Did he think I'm stopping halfway through? Or did he think I planned on doing the whole thing, but then, you know, I got tired? You know, whatever. I get paid per hour, and it's after the hour, I'm stopping. I'm in the middle of the mitzvah. You guys will figure it out. You'll find something else to do. But the Lashon of Rashi is, you started Brishos. The Chabur she'asa Brishos asa. The Chabur that I did, I had permission to do. Therefore, am I Chayiv? Why should I be Chayiv? Says the Beis Yosef in number 3, he makes the following diak off this Rashi.
He had no rishus to do that unless he's going to finish
what he started.
Okay, we'll see.
No, you can't make a chabur if you're not going to
finish. Well, the question is, did he know someone else was going to finish up? Was this set up or not? So let's see. Zog the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef records this Rashi and he writes the following halacha. V'yesh l'daktik midvarav. I have Zog the Beis Yosef. I want to come out with a gevaldik chiddush based on this Rashi. D'nihi d'chiyuv d'karis leka esura mia ika. Says the Beis Yosef, why does Rashi keep on talking about chayiv? The diach from Rashi, says the Beis Yosef, is that the moil can argue, I don't have a chiyuv chata, I don't have a chiyuv karis. But what I did was not right. I had no right to do this. It was still an isser.
Is it d'oraisa or d'rabbanan?
We'll see. Machlokes achronim. Says the Beis Yosef, what's the diuk? Kivan shalei gomar hamitzvah. L'maisa, I didn't do the whole job. It's not right what I did.
It's not malachas masheres.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that. But again, let's get the diuk out. The Beis Yosef's diuk is what? That the moil did something wrong. He should have completed the job. Now that he didn't complete the job, so where does it leave us? So says the Beis Yosef, it leaves us that he shouldn't get karis for it. But that he did nothing wrong, that you can't say. That's the deal that Beis Yosef makes in Rashi.
They're riding it by going on the Harabais.
What?
He says it ain't on his chorus.
Right.
So
but
it's interpreted that off. It just says ain't on his
chorus. Right. But over here, the argument, keep in mind, Rashi was just playing back the words of the Gemara. What were the words of the Gemara by us? The words of the Gemara were Chayiv Karis. So it could be Rashi wasn't getting involved in a surim heterim. Rashi was just repeating the words of the Gemara. The Gemara said he's chayiv karis, and that Rashi says he shouldn't be chayiv karis. A surim, Rashi never got involved in that. That wasn't Rashi's geschäft. That wasn't Rashi's issue. Rashi was just repeating the words of the Gemara.
So you make the same deal in the Gemara. They're only talking about the omesh.
Right, but the Gemara is vague because the Gemara wasn't getting into that. Now you want to know why the Gemara didn't get into it? That's a kash. But let's finish the Beis Yosef. Says the Beis Yosef, why is this negeya? If you accept this diuk of the Beis Yosef, that a moil who does half a job violates an isser but doesn't carry karis, apparently there was a custom, it's not done today, but there used to be a minhag, they used to divide the bris mila. One guy would do the chaticha, which we call the mila, and the other guy would be muchabed with the priya. They'd share the mitzvah. So says the Beis Yosef, what happens if it's Shabbos? You want to have one guy do the chaticha and one guy do the priya. Says the Beis Yosef, you can't do that. Why? You can't do that. Why? Because according to Rashi, when one Jew on Shabbos does half of a milah, that's aser. He doesn't get karis for it, because he can say, you finish up the job, but it's aser. That was the Beis Yosef's diak in Rashi. Beis Yosef made a diak in Rashi that it's aser for a Jew to do a half a milah on Shabbos. And that was the Gemara's taina. The Gemara's taina wasn't that what I did was permissible. The Gemara's taina was that I don't deserve karis for it.
The flip side of that coin is, what's the status of milah?
Good. So Reb Chaim Moisit discusses that. Let's say you did a milah v'loy priya, and now you want to finish it up. Do you have to do a toughest dam bris in between? I hope to get to it. Reb Chaim Moisit has a truth about that, Shiloh.
The priya doesn't involve a malacha.
It does.
Right?
It does. I'm not sure myself yet. But it's clear from this entire story that there's a malacha involved in priya. There's a malacha involved in priya. I'm not exactly sure what malacha. I saw someone say boina. I don't know if I understand that. Maybe Makom
HaPatish. Is that the last part?
Yes and no, because then you still have mitzitza. So I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure myself what malach. Maybe there's bleeding when you pull back, blood comes out. I don't know. I'm not sure. There's definitely malach involved in priya. I'm not sure what it is yet. But so there was Zok de Beis Yosef. So he makes a big halachic jump. He says, if you see from our Gemara that you can't have a milah, you can't do a half of a milah. Now again, just remind yourselves. What was the case of Rashi? It wasn't milah and not priya. Rashi learned our Gemara was tzitzin ha-ma'akvin. Keep that in mind. We'll see that the Marshal works with this idea. Rashi's comparing two things that are not exactly perfectly comparable. Our Gemara was a shayla of tzitzin ha-ma'akvin es ha-milah, to which according to the Beis Yosef's Diyuk and Rashi is that when you did a milah and you didn't do the tzitzin ha-ma'akvin, according to Beis Yosef, according to Rashi, you did half a milah, and that you're not allowed to do half a milah on Shabbos. It concludes the Beis Yosef, so you can't do a milah without a priya, because that's also half a milah on Shabbos. However, says the Beis Yosef, in the Bedek Habayis, they quote from the Orchas Chaim, "Katz b'shem balat shuma, shnei malim b'Shabbos, echad yochel l'mal v'echad yasa priya." No problem. V'ein shom chiyav b'harisha in ala chabura. No problem to have 1 mile do the chaticha and 1 mile do the priya. Because the second guy will finish the job. You see from the Gemara that that's a fair claim. So we have a machloikis with Shayim handled in the Gemara. When the mile turns to Bezdin and says, why didn't someone finish the other job? What he's saying is, and therefore I did absolutely nothing wrong, because it's completely permissible for each one of us to do a half a milo. Or according to Rashi, the Gemara's kash was no. That's a claim only why you don't deserve kares, but that is not a claim to justify what you did, because what you did was wrong. You had no right to split up the mila into two. You don't get kares for it, but it's still a prohibition. That's machloikis rishayim.
What I'm trying to say, so when the mole does whatever he's doing, right? So he's doing a maisa, which at the time that he did it was completely mutter, right?
Right.
Now the end result turned out not to be So now, because the end result, we're going to look back on the original.
So what we're going to see in a second
is that he did something wrong.
There's a long Tshuvas Ramah, which I photocopied a bunch of different snippets of it, where it's not clear in the case is it the similar when a mohel assumes to do half a job and plans to have another guy finish it, or a case where the mohel just, conks out in the middle and someone else has to finish it. That's one of the very strong arguments of the Ramah. So if you look in the Darkei Moshe, also authored by the Ramah, he wrote Daki Moshe, he wrote a Gevaldik Sefer on the Megillah. That's what popularly learned. Rama wrote a Sefer on the Megillah. I always forget its name. I think it has the word Yain in it somewhere. But the reason why it's popular, at least to me, why it's popular, because he writes a Gevaldik Chiddush. We've spoke about this before, that the Shulchan Aruch records that there's a fast day on the ninth day of the ninth day of Teves, and no one knows why. So we've spoken before about Christianity and Peter, we've spoken all about that. But the Ramon is safer on Megillah writes, that was the day that Esther was taken by Achashverosh. If you look in the Megillah, it says in the Megillah that she was taken in the month of Teves. It doesn't say a day. It doesn't say which day. So Dr. Ramon, the day that she was taken to Achashverosh, which again, ultimately ended up being the greatest thing in the world, but at the time was horrific, and that happened on Tes Teves. So he writes that in his Sefer. To me, it's always a Tzarachian where he saw that in the Megillah. Doesn't say a word in the Megillah of the day. It just says in the month of Teves. I don't know, but I forgot the name of the Sefer. Something Yain in it. It's a nice Sefer on the Megillah that the Ramah wrote. So the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, he comes to argue on the Beis Yosef's right. Now, if you remember, the Ramah and the Beis Yosef were contemporaries. People don't think about it. They sent letters to each other. The Beis Yosef was older than the Ramah, but they were officially contemporaries of each other. The Ramah in this Tshuva, he writes, although I normally don't like to argue on the Beis Yosef, but I'll do it if I have to. And he does it all over the place. Saying, open up Shulchan Aruch. That's part of what he does. So he writes in the Darkei Moshe, Ve'ei Misham Raya. Says the Ramah, I don't agree with the Beis Yosef Tzushta. The Beis Yosef said, based on our Rashi, that the Moel only has a claim to why he doesn't deserve Kares, but he has no claim to that what he did was permissible. So you're not allowed to have a Milo split up on Shabbos between the Moel and the one who does the Priya. He says, no Raya. The Hasam Le Nigmar HaMitzvah. Over there, nothing ended up getting done. You did half a job, and then you retired, and you left the people to figure out. There, you did something wrong. But says that, if you set it up this way, and you have in line a guy to fill in for you, you're going to stop here, he's going to take over, we have a perfect system, everything is great. So, Dr. Ramah, what's the problem? And he says, I even felt like this in Rishayim. So the Ramah says, what are you talking about? Our Gemara wasn't planned. Our Gemara was you started going, and at some point you tanked out. And then you turn to the world and you say, you guys, you figure it out. Well, I was allowed to do what I was allowed to do. Zuck Rashi, no, you weren't. You did an Isser. It might not have been your fault. It might not have been, you left us hanging. But if I set it up in a way where I have my Perea guy, and I'm the Mila guy, and we're a tag team, and we split the money equally, and we do everything together, and I do my part, and then you scoot over, you do your part, says the Ramah, what's wrong with that? Why should there be a problem?
What's the exact dictum of Lemo Lahu?
Say to them. The people.
Say
to the people.
Not he said.
Right. I didn't set this off from the get-go. The Ramaz Dik is very strong. I didn't set up to have someone else come in and fill in. I now am in a situation where I need to fill in, so I'm turning to the people and saying, you guys come help me fill in.
He didn't say it was usher. He said you shouldn't do it with
a chafilo. No, he was medayik from Rashi that it's usher.
No,
you
should have
you
two people do the bris.
Right, he says the first line. Like isurim mi'ikah. There's some isser.
Yeah, no, in this case where it got messed up.
So I would have assumed that's following over.
Look,
I agree. I hear what you're saying. We'll see in Shulchan Aruch how he writes it. We'll see in a second.
Then how do you deal with the bracha? Would he have in mind to do that beforehand?
Which case? Our Gemara or the Ramos case?
No, the case where he
does the chaticha, which is the bracha.
Right, but in the middle, he's saying,
he planned to have someone do the priya.
But he planned before he
planned it. He was only going to do the chaticha. Apparently, I was reading in a sefer, this was very common. I'm not sure why. We'll see in a second. I hope to get to why. I should go to the Panovich Rav, but it was very popular. I guess I don't understand the mitzvahs, but it seems like the chaticha is easier than the priya. I guess it's easier just to cut than it is to pull back. So many fathers were able to learn how to cut, and someone else would pull back. It was just easier this way. Now, why was there such a minute that the fathers would do the chaticha? Maybe. Well, the other side is, because we had a long time ago, 64 shiurim ago, we had a shach. When the shach has a chiddush, you don't have shlichus for mila. You can't use a shlich for a moil. So therefore, if you do it yourself, you don't have to worry about shlichus. Okay, well, we'll come back to that, hopefully at the end of today's show at some point. So now, what does the Dakimoshe mean by this? If you look in the Tshuvas Ramah, number 5, he writes, V'linira de'ein zediktuk. He does not like the Beis Yosef's diuk. Why? The Rashi nakat lashon hamemra, shekamar chayiv karis. Rashi was repeating the statement of the Gemara. Why? Well, the Beis Yosef's diuk was, why is Rashi focusing on the karis? He should be focusing on the permissibility or the not permissibility. So talk to Beis Yosef, what do you see from here? That the permissibility issue is not even discussed, because if it's sure not permissible, the only shayla is, do you get karis? Says Ramat's b'chlam not a diuk. Why? Because Rashi was just commenting on the words of the Gemara. The words of the Gemara were karis. He was just talking the language of the Gemara. V'oid. Even if you want to say there's an Isser, that's because when you went into the situation, you did not know that someone was going to come to finish up your job. You stopped. And maybe no one will finish up the job. But Zogtim, this is what the Rama meant in Darkei Moshe. He just writes it clearer in the Tshuva. But when you set it up, Meikara, you're doing Mila, I'm doing Priya, Zogtim Rama, I have absolutely no problem with it. If you look at number 6, in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Mila, I believe it's in Reish Samach Vav, the last Sif in Hilchas Mila, Yerudea, he writes, Yesh Li Hizar, interesting lesson, he writes, Yesh Li Hizar, doesn't say Asr, Yesh Li Hizar, you shouldn't have two moilim doing one meal on Shabbos. The guy who does mila should do the priya. This is based on the Beis Yosef, who makes a diak and a Rashi, that there is some problem with splitting the mila on Shabbos. Comes along the Ramah. Said Ramah, I found no riot to such a halacha. Why? Because the Ramah argued on the diak of the Beis Yosef and the Rashi. He thought the diak is not a diak for two reasons. First of all, he thought Rashi only said karis because the Gemara said karis, and he thought Rashi's case is different than the case of the Beis Yosef, because the case of the Beis Yosef would be if you planned it, then there's no problem. But then he goes on a lum the she'engel. The Adar Rabbah nearly the shari. I think it's completely permissible. Why? Because Mila is Daiche Shabbos, just like Avoida b'Mikdash. Shekama Kehanim Ayu Oivdim B'Machalam Shabbos. Because we know, he had many Kehanim working in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see the Noyd B'Hud explains, what does that mean? It means when you had to bring one carbon, you had one Kohen do Shechita, and one carbon do the Zrika. One Kohen could have done both parts. Limit the Chalo Shabbos. He says you don't have to. Why? Because it's Hutra. Hutra means free for all. It's Tuesday. So whatever you do on Tuesday, you do on Shabbos. And since Mila is also Hutra, says the Ramah, the Ma'achad the Shabbos nit the Litchais Hareu Kichor L'chol Davar. So what's the Ramah's argument on the Lomnusha argument is that Mila is Hutra. Avoid the Beis HaMikdash is Hutra. Anything that is Hutra is Tuesday. Tuesday means you do the way you do it on a regular day. And since on a regular Tuesday you have one guy doing the Mila and one guy doing the Priya, you do the same thing on Shabbos. That's the Ramah's comment. Then he concludes with Chematzasi b'Sefer Atruma Yosh and Kosav B'Klaf Shekosav B'Soif Hilcho Shabbos B'Hedja D'Shari. Omnom. This is an interesting twist. Omnom Matzasi B'Koyvitz Shiesh La'Asir. I found there are those that Asir it. Val Kein Toiv La'Hachmen L'Chadchila. You should be Machmen. I really think it's 100% mutter. But it's better to be machmer. If you look at the Nosei Kehel and the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, the Taz, the later Achrayim, no one buys into the Chumrah. They all say it's mutter legamri, follow the Ramah, don't be choshish. What we do today, I tried looking, I didn't get halacha l'maisa. What we do today, I'm not sure. But even though the Ramah concludes Toiv l'achmer, most later Achrayim, Shach, the Taz, I believe the Chayodah, maybe even the Aruch HaShulchan, they all write, we'll see it in Mishnah Berurah also, that we don't buy into this Chumrah of the Ramah. We completely permit Mila and Priya by two different people. But why? So the Ramah sounds like the reason why we permit it is because Shabbos Mila is Hutra, and anything is Hutra, you're allowed to do whatever you want. How do I know it says Ramah? Look at the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used to bring Karbanas, and those Karbanas required many people to do Malacha. Why did many people do the Malacha? Why didn't they split it? Why did they split it? Let one kind do everything. Elamah, you don't do that because it's Hutra.
I know I asked this last week.
Yeah.
Is the Priya actually part of the Mila, or it's a separate entity?
That's a big Shaila. It's a shayla, I think. It's a big shayla.
Because if it's part of it, and this is what I asked last week, and I don't understand.
It's a shayla.
So then don't you get into the whole sugi of chatzi shir? And then you shouldn't be chayav anyway.
No, it's not going to be chatzi shir, because each chalik is an isser.
Why?
Chatzi shir means...
The whole thing.
No, because each person is doing an isser. We'll see about this in the Shagasari. Rabbi Asher Weiss wants to tell you that that's the machlokes between the Ramah and the Mechaber. The goof of machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah is Priya a chalik of the Mila, or Priya is a David study? So if it's a chelik of the Mila, right. So one mile could do everything. Just like, if it's a chelik of the Mila, so then you could split it. If it's not a chelik of the Mila, you can't split it. We'll have to talk more about that.
Why
I'm not so convinced.
Why is the number of Kohanim involved a reflection or a quicker degree? I mean, why does it matter if 10 Kohanim doing one malacha each, or one is doing 10 malachas? How does that reflect?
Okay, good. So we'll see in a second. Hopefully in Noidi Behuda, we're going to get into that. But this is the comment of the Ramah. Now, if you look in the Chuvas Ramah, he explains himself a little bit more. Again, this Ramah is a chiddush. Why? Because according to this Ramah, Mila is dechuya, and Avodah Beis HaMikdash is dechuya. That's a question. I mean, according to the Ramah, Mila is dechuya. Mila is hutra. Mila is hutra. Okay? According to the Ramah, Mila is hutra. Zok the Chuvas Ramah. Avodah Oimed Shari V'raya. Zok the Ramah, I hold this mutter to split up Mila and Priya, and I have a raya. What's my raya? Mi carbon tamid u'masofin shal Shabbos. From the carbon tamid that was brought, and the carbon masofin on Shabbos. D'loy mishtam et shum tana d'loy hayu ma'aseh b'Shabbos k'mar ba'aseh b'chol. No one in all the Mishnahs ever make the comment that you should know they did things differently on Shabbos than they did during the week. Now, what would they have done differently? We'll see in a second. But they didn't. V'chein they didn't carbon Pesach. The amino and perik tamid shenishchat k'ma'aseh b'chol kach ma'aseh b'Shabbos. Shay nishchav v'nishchat k'mar b'chol. They did everything like a regular Tuesday. Why don't you try to be memai to chil Shabbos? Teretz says because you don't have to. Why? Because avoid the beis hamikdash is hutra. Okay, so what does that do for Mila? Very nice. That avoid the beis hamikdash is hutra. What does this do with Mila? Maybe Mila is dechuya. Zokter Amar, the ain lechalik be Mila avoid. Don't draw a distinction. Why don't you draw a distinction? Da beperik abalaz the Mila. A little bit of a chazar for us. Boy the mail of the Mila titcha Shabbos may avoid the dachy Shabbos bekavachoy mitzras. We had a whole thing in Kuflam at Beis. This is probably like 20 shurim ago, where the Gemara said, how do you know Mila is Deicha Shabbos? So the Gemara said, because Avoid and the Beis HaMikdash is Deicha Shabbos, and I'll learn that Mila from a Kal V'Chomer. Frek the Ramah, you're comparing apples to oranges. What's the comparison? One works with Hutra and one works with Tchuya. How do you have the right to compare the two things? Shenitchem the Mila V'Deicha Avoid, the Shemami no the Mila Chamira. If I can't, you see Mila is even more Chomer. So if you tell me that Mila is more Chomer, so how am I comparing it to Avoida? The Avagav Duloy Koi Haya Kavachomer Hossam. The Gemara doesn't stick with the Kavachomer. But that's Dr. Ramah, that's because of a different reason. Why did the Gemara say, what are you comparing apples to oranges? Avoid the Bebeis HaMikdash. You have a kula that you're allowed to have many Kehanim violate. But by Mila, we try to cut back. So they're not comparable. The Gemara never makes such a comment. Elamai says the Ramah, this gives me the right to conclude that Avoid the Bebeis HaMikdash is Hutra. Mila is Hutra. And if Avoid the Bebeis HaMikdash, you're allowed to do the way it's normally done, and even though you could cut back, Mila is the same thing. So concludes the Ramah. So let's see. Zok Dinay de Behuda, the number 8, top left corner. I ran out of space, so I had to go to the top left corner. Zok Dinay de Behuda, what is the Ramah talking about? Avoid the Beis HaMikdash. Does he mean that instead of having 10 kohen doing 10 jobs, we should have one kohen do 10 jobs? Where is the avoid the element? Right, the Ramah's being a right that when avoid the Beis HaMikdash, we don't cut corners, and avoid the Beis HaMikdash is Hutra, and Mila is Hutra, so by Mila we don't cut corners. Cut corners by us. By Mila we know it means that you have the right to split up Mila and the Priya. What did it mean by the avoid? It means by the avoider, we didn't cut corners on what? Instead of having one kohen do 10 jobs, we had 10 kohen do 10 jobs? Says the Nidei Behuda number 8, he says, no, it means specifically shechita and zrika. In each korban, there's two processes. There's the shechita and the zrika. He writes, Uma ben shechita v'zrika. Sha shechita luchu dey ene klom elai dey zrika. Sha achakach l'shnei moilum shezeh mo v'zeh pareya. Zok, the Nidei Behuda, the comparison of the Ramah, is referring to shechita v'zrika of a korban.
What's the malacha of zrika?
Oh, okay, we'll have to get to that. He says, just like by Mila and Priya, there's two steps. And just like by Shechita Vizrika, there's two steps. And therefore, by Shechita Vizrika, I'm allowed to have the same kohen do it even, I'm allowed to split the jobs, even though technically one guy can do both. I can do the same thing with Mila and Priya. He says, Afila Idei Moral Sheini, Kamarishim Vashay Lases Mila. So on the footnote in the Nidei Behuda, right under, he writes, he says, Loi Domi. It's Bechlal, not a good comparison. The Beshechita Hu Mitzvah Befnei Atzmai Ala Kohen. Shechita is an independent mitzvah. Vim echot shachat v'echot zayrik kol echav echad kai mitzvah zeh kai mitzvah shechita v'zeh mitzvah zrika. There's two separate mitzvahs. Ma she'en kein b'mila u'priya yachad heima ha'mitzvah u'mitzvah achasi. It's a big chiddush. He's assuming that mila and priya are not two separate mitzvahs, they're two halves of the same mitzvah. So when one guy does the mila and he doesn't do the priya, it's not the pshat that he did one whole mitzvah, he did a half a mitzvah. So the footnote in the Nidei Behuda is saying it's not such a good comparison. By Mila and Priya splitting the two, you're not splitting two jobs. You're splitting one job into two. That you don't have a right to do. But by Shechita and Zrika, you're not splitting one job into two. You're splitting two separate jobs, which normally were done by one person. So he takes issue with what exactly was the comparison from the Ramaz Avodah Beveis HaMikdash.
Yeah, but you just ask, this sounds to me like, well, this whole inyan of them saying that they'll split it. If we say the reason we're doing give the father because it's easier and it's better to do it by yourself than by a shliach, if he's not going to complete the mitzvah l'chatchila, how is that a shlichus?
That's what we have to see. We have to see what the mile of giving it to the father is. Blinet, we'll come back to that, I hope, at some point. Now, what's the gevaldik way to get out of the raya of the Ramah? The Ramah brought a raya from Avodah Beis HaMikdash. Says the Shagasai, it's b'chol not a raya. Why? Because the assumption is, and the Ramah himself discusses this, if it would be usher to divide Mila and Priya, what type of issa would it be? Would it be Nisa deraisa or would it be Nisa derabban? So the Ramah in the Tshuva assumed it would be Nisa derabban. Said the Shagasai, that's not a kasha. Why? Ain't shvus b'mikdash. You're bringing me a raya that what they did in the Beis HaMikdash to what you could do by Mila. You could do this in the Beis HaMikdash because this is only Nisa derabbanan. And we have a principle, ain't shvus b'mikdash. There's no Nisa derabbanan in the Mikdash. Therefore, Zakta Shagasariya, avoid the Beis HaMikdash is not a raya. Not because avoid the Beis HaMikdash and the Mila are not compared because one hutra and one's tchuya. You're right, they're both hutra. But the reason why this works for Avodah Beis HaMikdash is because Avodah Beis HaMikdash, we have the principle, Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash.
What's Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash? We're not
going to
make
a gzeira,
don't do A, because you might do
okay.
B. Then
so this obviously is a loader. That's the question, what type of Darabon this is. Right. Okay, that's probably going to be the answer back to the Ramah. But this is the Shagasai. What?
The Gemara used it as a kalachmer. From Mikdash to Mila.
Right, that's because the Gemara knew that they're not going to be different because of Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. The Gemara knew that you're not going to be able to draw a distinction between one and the other because at the end of the day, by Mila you might have this, but you won't have this because of Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. So that's the Shagasai's answer. Okay. Let's see another shtickle Ramah, number 10. This is where it gets really lebedik. Zakta Ramah, v'oid raya. I have another raya that you're allowed to split the Mila and the Priya. What's this raya? Me'inya pikuach nefesh. I have arrived from the din of pikuach nefesh. What does that mean? The kosvul ha Rambam the Perik Beis Melachos Shabbos, because the Rambam writes in Perik Beis Melachos Shabbos veha Torah and the Torah the Shabbos hu etzla kechol gomer. That Shabbos when it comes to pikuach nefesh is kechol gomer. What does that sound like? Hutra. Ulechen kosvul ha Torah the shecht and lechol yelar shecht for a choyla. V'loy machil nevesh neveli. Now I'll give him the vela. Mishum shu etzla kechol gomer lechol atzarich lo. Only whatever he needs. Ulechen kosvul rosh if you ma b'shem arav im kain. What does this have to do with us that Shabbos is Pikuach Nefesh? So till now, the Ramah brought a raya from Avodah Beis HaMikdash. Now he says, let's drop Avodah Beis HaMikdash. Let's talk about Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra. Very nice. What does that have to do with anything? So he says, Imkein onu royim de emedak de kim b'issa Pikuach Nefesh. Lasso is Isra kal me'achashu kechol. When it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, you don't find that you have to start playing games of, you know, changing the way you do it. You don't have shnaim sh'asu for Pikuach Nefesh. Well, Nefesh, you do whatever you have to do. Why? Because it's kechol. And therefore you're allowed to have two people do something, even though one person can do it. You're allowed to have two doctors do a procedure, even though technically one doctor can do the whole procedure and limit the amount of Chol Shabbos. You should do the same thing for Mila also. Because where did we learn that in the first place, that Mila is Deicha Shabbos? From Pikuach Nefesh. So the Gemara says, Kitamina paragraph laws the Mila, Ma Mila Shef, Ever Echo, Deicha Shabbos, Kosha came Pikuach Nefesh. Vim came the Makim, the Asa, the Mila, Asa Gam, Kipuach Nefesh. The Mehecha Taysim, Law, in the Mila. Alishma Mina, the Inlechal.
You learn out Mila from Pikuach Nefesh or vice versa?
You learn out that you learn out Pikuach Nefesh from Mila.
Yeah, so.
If Mila is Deicha.
Why is Mila Pikuach Nefesh?
That's it's not. Aver, but that was the Kavach Haimer. If you're allowed to violate the Shabbos for one Aver, Kosh, can you allow to violate the Shabbos for the whole body? That was the Gemara's Kajman. So, Dr. Ramah, if Pikuach Nefesh works with Hutra, and Pikuach Nefesh works with the way that you don't have to cut back, and Mila and Pikuach Nefesh go the same way, so Mila is the same thing. That's the Ramah's conclusion. There's only one problem. It's against the Gemara. If you remember, number 11, we spoke about this Gemara at length. There's a Gemara in Yuma Daf Pehei, where the Gemara has a whole discussion, how do you know Pikuach Nefesh? So one of the sources was from Mila. Then the Gemara concludes, Amr Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Iyavi Hasam, if I would have been in this meeting of the Rabbanim, when all the Rabbanim were suggesting reasons for Pikuach Nefesh, Hava Amina Didi Adifa, Mididu, I would have said, I got the best Svara. Why? V'chai Bahem. It says in the Torah, you're supposed to live, V'lo Yishayam Aspahem, that's why Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. Amar Rava, L'kula Islu Picha Mibar Midi Shmuel, D'les L'picha. Shmuel's answer is the best. Which means, L'maskana, how do you know Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos? Not because you're learning it from Mila. So Frek the Shagasai also. Frek the Shagasai, what's the Ramah talking about? So you can also get out of this and say what? From the fact that the Gemara never had a Kasha. When the Gemara initially in its Havamina asked, let's learn Mila and from Pikuach Nefesh, the Gemara should have right away said red flags. Pikuach Nefesh and Mila, apples and oranges. One is Hucha and one is the Chuyah. The Gemara never makes that comment. Elamai, you see that they're the same. But the Shagasai asks as a Kasha on the Ramah. But what does the Ramah tell us? That Pikuach Nefesh is Hucha. He quotes a Rambam. So if Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, and Pikuach Nefesh is learned from Mila, so Mila's got to be Hutra. So if Mila's Hutra, it's Tuesday. Tuesday, so you divide the Mila and the Priya, just like you do for Pikuach Nefesh. That's the Cheshbon of the Rambam. The problem is, what was the Rambam that he was quoting? The Rambam quotes a Rambam, but the Rambam seems to tell you that that Shabbos is Hutra. Now, if you look in the Rambam on the next page, it's questionable. Why is it questionable? Because the Rambam that he quotes does exist. It's true. It's a Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Beis where the Rambam writes, second line in, Klol Yishol Dover, rule of thumb, to be Klol Yishol Dover, Shabbos Legabi Choylo Sheyesh Basakana, Harehu Kechol L'chol Hadvarim Shutzarach Lahem. Those words are pretty clear. Harehu Kechol means it's Hutra. It's Tuesday. That was the words that the Ramah borrowed to show us that the Ramah holds Hutra. And that's a fair diak. The Rambam holds Hutra, so if it's Hutra for Pikuach Nefesh, and Mila, Pikuach Nefesh is learned from Mila, so Mila's got to be Hutra, so everything is great. There's only one problem, there's another Rambam. If you look at number 13, the Rambam is in Halacha Aleph. The first Rambam was in Halacha Beis. This Rambam is in Halacha Aleph. What did the Rambam write? D'chuya hi Shabbos, Eitzel Sakonis Nefoshes. Shabbos is D'chuya, Eitzel Sakonis Nefoshes. Kishar Kol Mitzvahs. Now, what does the Rama mean when he writes "dechuya hi Shabbos etzal sakaras nefashos"? What does those words mean? So, if you look in the Kesef Mishnah, right on the 14 on the left side, he writes that the Gemara Pesachim has machloikis tenoy tenoma by tuma itchuya hi betzibra hutra. We all know the famous machloikis by Chanukah because we all know that the machloikis in the Gemara Pesachim is tuma betzibra hutra or itchuya upirish Rashi dechuya. What's the difference between Hutra and Tchuya? The difference is if it's Hutra, you don't look for ways to make it work. You do whatever you gotta do. You don't think twice about Shabbos. If it's Tchuya, you try to say to yourself, can I make everything work without having to violate the Shabbos? Hutra means it's Kechol Gomer, it's Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, I don't have to think about using a Shinoi, doing Shnaim Sha'asus, doing the Rabbanon, it's Tuesday. But if it's Tchuya, I try to work in a way to make it without violating the Shabbos. Says the Kesef Mishnah, we paskin, says the Kesef Mishnah, that Shab, that Tumah is Tchuya. V'chein paskin, Rabbeinu Perek Dal, M'hilchas B'yas HaMikdash HaChal Tezvav. U'mash v'dechihech defligi betumah, hachanami fligu b'shabbos l'gabi choyle mid'chuya hutra. V'kaimlon k'mad om b'dchuya. We paskin that Shabbos is Tchuya. Because of kein harashba v'haran, shashabbos d'chuya hi etzal choyle v'loy hutra. So does that mean he's plugging that back into the Rambam? That when the Rambam says D'chuya hi, the Rambam means it's D'chuya? So then the Rambam Shtikul Torah falls off. The Rambam wants to be medayik from the Rambam that the Rambam held Shabbos is Hutra. But now, according to this, the Rambam really holds it's D'chuya.
So it's going to say that, because the rest of it, he says kashar kol mitzvos. You say the gabei treifin avela, it's tehuya and avutra.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very hard what those words mean. Because when you read the Rambam, it sounds like Hutra. Because he continues. He's a fichu chadish shesh b'zakan oisim loy kol tzoracha b'shabbos. That sounds like Hutra. Not chuyah. But he has this word chuyah here. So again, the Rambam assumed for David Pashut that the Rambam sheet is Hutra. The Rambam is not so clear to us if the Rambam held Hutra at chuyah for pikuach nefesh. But again, the kash that we have is, it doesn't really make a difference. Because l'maskana, pikuach nefesh is not learned from Mila. Pikuach nefesh is learned from v'chai b'hem. It's a whole different makar. No shaykh is to the sugya of Mila.
The Rambam is saying that even though pikuach nefesh may only be a case of the chuyah, you shouldn't hesitate. And you should
Could be he's trying to bring home the point. Right, but at the end of the day, if the Rambam is going to hold that Mil, that Pekuach Nefesh is the chuyah, that means Milo is the chuyah, then the whole Chuvah's Ramah falls off. That's what's negated to us. Okay, so that's questionable. Then we come to the end of the Ramah. So till now, the Ramah was trying to build up a case to why he thought it. What?
You still have a steer in the Rambam, huh?
You might have a steer in the Rambam. Yeah, you might have a steer in the Rambam. Unless you assume the chuyah shouldn't be taken like what we call the chuyah. The Rambam is the chuyah, even though it's not like that from the case of Mishnah, that the Rambam is the chuyah is a fancy way of saying hutra. He must have had another word to call it. You know, we use this term. The Gemara uses the term hutra v'tchuyah. The Rambam must have meant something else. Yeah, it's a question. It's a question. I don't remember if we got into it when we got into the sugya of pikuach nefesh, which we definitely did discuss. I don't remember if we got into this Rambam, but it's definitely something to discuss. The Rambam's shita. But till now, the Rambam was just trying to defend why he thinks it's okay to split the milah. It's okay to split it. Just like you split in the Beis HaMikdash, and just like you split for Pekuach Nefesh. Now the Ramah thinks, not only is it okay, I endorse it. Why should you endorse it? I think it's even better. Why? This way, neither one is doing a full malacha. It's like Shnaim Sha'asu.
Yeah, why do we have to come on?
You don't really need it, because I really think it's mutter anyways. So there must like have some icing on the cake over here, which is what? That have two people do it this way, no one's ever really violating the Shabbos. Now what's the kash on this Ramah?
It's against our Gemara.
Why is it against our Gemara? That's because in that case you didn't know the other guy was going to kick in. That's where I'm off. The Frektish Agasaria, this is not the same thing as Zeoikiv as Aminiach. Why? Zeoikiv as Gevaldik. Number 16. Ubezer Hoysef Temal Tema.
Each one is half of a
Malacha. Here.
Each one is doing a
Malacha. Oh, right. By Zeoikiv as Aminiach, the Malacha has two parts. And to get to be over the malacha, you have to have two parts done. One part called akir, one part hanach. So if I do half and you do half, we each did half a malacha. But over here, mila and priya are each yisurei shabbos. Granted, together they complete a mila. But for God,
it would be better than for one person to do both, because at least he's accomplishing the whole
right.
But not according to the hakira that we said.
No, but
if it's one mitzvah,
no, forget mitzvah. But here we're talking about Shabbos. He's saying that you want to make it shnayim shasu. It means you're not looking at it from halacha of milah. You're looking at it from hilcha Shabbos. Frektish agisai hilcha Shabbos. Each person did a full malacha deraisa. Milah is a malacha, ticha is a malacha deraisa, and priya is a malacha deraisa. So where's the shnayim shasu? Frektish agisai, it's gevaldik. Over there, the malach has two parts, and until both parts are completed, you don't have a malacha. The kimmich shenasu yidi shnayim turin. The chol echav oyasam malacha shleima. The chem beis shahatzu chifetz echad biyachad. Two people schlep a bench out of a house. Ein hoytzah nasai di echad. The fichah turin. A malach imol v'le gomar havadi chayiv. Do hamalach le taliyev enigbra v'gemar mil davka. El baschalas emilu havale chayivol. Over there, each person is doing a malacha. That's chalas the mila is a malacha also. It's not a good comparison. It's a very stark akasha that the Shagasai has. Okay, but that's the Ramah Shita. The Ramah thinks it's completely permissible. Why? Because the Ramah thinks we have either a raya from Avoyde Beis HaMikdash, which is Hutra, or we have a raya from Pikuach Nefesh, which is Hutra, and Mila is going to be like that. So this is what the Achrenim bring a raya that the Ramah Shita in Shulchan Aruch is Mila is Hutra. So if someone stops you on the street and asks you, is Mila Hutra? The answer is the Ramah holds Mila is Hutra. The Ramah holds Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra. And the Ramah holds Avoid is Beis HaMikdash is Hutra. He holds all those three things. Now, we mentioned the Rambam, it's questionable, but that's clearly the Shita HaRamah. Comes along the Vilna Goyin, and the Vilna Goyin says, this whole Ramah doesn't make any sense. He says, L'chay rein raya, da Avoid de B'Shabbos Hutra. He says, first of all, the Ramah is comparing apple to oranges. The Ramah is saying, just like the Avoid de B'Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to use more than one person, so too the Mila. says the Vilna Gaon, that's because avoid the Beis Hamikdash is taka hunchura. Because Mila is only the chuya. He assumes that the Rambam Shita is d'chuya. So, Frank the Vilna Gaon, you're right and you're wrong. Pikuach Nefesh is d'chuya. And Avoy the Beis HaMikdash is d'chuya, but Mila is hotra. Oh, I'm sorry, vice versa. The Vilna Gaon's argument is Avada the Ramah, you're right. Avoy the Beis HaMikdash is hotra. Pikuach Nefesh is hotra. But Mila is d'chuya. So the Achrayna point out, this is a fundamental machloek, it's Ramah and Vilna Gaon. The Ramah assumed Mila is like the other two. And everything is hotra. Says the Vilna Gaon, it's not true. Mila is taka d'chuya. Mila is the chuyah, and the other two are hotra. No, he said everything else. No, I said b'kuach nefesh is the chuyah. B'kuach nefesh is the chuyah, right? He holds that. Right. He holds even b'kuach nefesh is the chuyah. Sorry, I take that back. The Vilna Gaon holds even b'kuach nefesh is the chuyah, which is one of the Rambams that we saw.
So what's the only thing that's
hotra? Avoid the beis hamikdash. That's hotra. That's why you're allowed to have one kohen, many kohanim doing many different avoid. So he, you have to know how he learned the Maskaras HaGemara. He must have learned the Maskaras HaGemara. No, according to him, it's good. Maskaras HaGemara is that Pikuach Nefesh is Dechuya, just like Mila, which is Dechuya. Okay, that's good. According to the Vilna Gaon, Pikuach Nefesh is just like Mila. They're both Dechuya. Everything's good. Avoid the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to have to work out. So we have a fundamental, we have a very fundamental Machloekes Achrayim over here, if Mila's Hutra or Mila's Dechuya. Okay.
Sense if we say that he holds that Mila is
Kuya,
right?
No, the Ramah makes sense if he holds
Mila
is Hutra.
Why does he say it's five?
Because it's Hutra, it's Tuesday. On Tuesday you would split it. Okay, the Ramah is better. The Vilna Gaon's argument is that if Mila is Kuya, you don't split it. Because when something is Kuya, you try to limit the amount of Chol Shabbos. The Ramah says, no, it's Tuesday. Tuesday, you do it, you do it Tuesday.
That's not our normal understanding of Pikuach Nefesh. We normally understand it's. You know,
Hutra. Most of us.
We don't try to cut corners with the
That's correct. We assume like the Ramah. Right? The Vilna Gaon holds us to Chuyah. I'm not getting involved to, you know, with Hatzalah Shailas, but we try to stay away from them. But yeah, that's what comes out. The Gronics. But there's one more sheet before we wrap it up is the Marshal. The Marshal was the uncle of the Ramah. I don't know how many people know this. It's interesting. He was the uncle of the Ramah. And they used to write letters to each other. And he used to blast the Ramah. He always used to blast him. He was tough. The Mashal was tough. He used to write to the Ramah, your Hebrew's bad. You got to learn how to write Hebrew. You weren't raised right. The Mashal was tough. The Mashal was a tough. He's a chashav, but the Mashal was tough. He argued in the Ramah. The Ramah used to be matter having like chasanas late on the day of Friday. The Mashal yelled at him, all back and forth. But they used to write letters to each other. So the Mashal is quoted by the Noi de Bihuda in the Sefer Yamshel Shleim in Yevamis. Mashal was one of the early Achrayim. People don't learn enough Mashal. Mashal was one of the early Achrayim. Mamish, the mid to late 1500s. Early 1500s. The Ramah was late 1500s. He was his uncle. Mamish, right around the times of Rishayim was the Mashal. He has a lot of big chedushim. We did the Sugya of Yarmulke. We quoted a couple big chedushim from the Mashal. He's very makeable with Yarmulke. But okay. So the Noi de Bihuda quotes a Mashal. Where the Mashal says, keep in mind what just happened in our Gemara. In our Gemara, we were talking about Tzitzit HaMa'akfin, and the Beis Yosef jumped to Mila V'lei Para. And the Beis Yosef said, if it's Tzitzit HaMa'akfin, you're not allowed to do half and not the Tzitzit HaMa'akfin, so you're not allowed to do a Mila V'lei Priya. That was the Beis Yosef. Comes along the Mashal says, 1 second, we're comparing apples and oranges. Ma'al V'lei Para and Mila and not doing a Tzitzit HaMa'akfin are not the same case. Says the Marshal, the Noi de Bihuda quotes it, if you have last week's Maamar Karmis, I don't think anyone saved, I have the Marshal there. It's an old print and small print, so I did you a favor, I didn't want to ruin anyone's eyes, so I figured I'll just have the Noi de Bihuda quote the Marshal. He writes, very easily the Marshal, B'yam shal shalem b'yivam, it's Perek Arl Sem and Gimel. Hifiz alamid aloy masha, afilu chiv karis yesh alamoyol, kishene perei hu ba'atzwe b'shabas. Zok, the Marshal held that if you do half a Mila, you're number one, you do Mila, and you don't do Priya, you taka get karis. I thought our Gemara said there's no karis. Umash Kasab Msacho Shabbat Pergabos the Mila Shimla Hilkit Matsu Amarana Vin the Palga the Mitzvah, Hasam bin Molu Para, Rakshin Ishu Tzitzin Afshitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzit Molvalai Para. Our Gemara was talking about you did the Mila, you just didn't do the Tzitzin. On that, the Gemara says that Moyel number one doesn't get Karis. He did half a mitzvah. He did absolutely nothing. Wow. It's a whole different sugya. You're not making a fair comparison. Doing a mila and not doing tzitzit ma'akfin is doing a mila, but you're missing something. Now that thing that you're missing might be essential to the mila, but you did at least a chatzi ma'isa mitzvah. But a mila without a priya is garnished. Now that's really the diik. The mashal says, where did I get this from? The Mishnah Yevamos. Mila amal avloy para ki'ilu loy mal means you did zero. Not that you did half, you did zero. I'm thinking a mila and not the tzitzin is a mila just missing.
And the priya gets the credit for doing the whole thing.
That's what he says. You get credit for everything. So therefore, he said, and that for a mila v'loy priya, you get karis. Right. That was Yushalma we pointed out last week. But for this marshal was what I was trying to bring home last week, that you see there's a big difference between ma'al v'loy para and a mila without tzitzin. Even though the Mishnah lumped the two things together in the end of the 19th parak, but the wording was different. It says by ma'al v'loy para ki l'loy ma'al. So after marshal means the first guy did zero, garnished. But a mila without tzitzin, hama'akvin, the guy did something. He didn't do it 100%. So he finished the rest of it. That's okay. That was the sheet of the marshal. Okay, let's try to get to one more Ma'ar Makam today. So I found in the Sefer over here where they discussed the following shaila. The machloek is machabin ramah if you could split mila and priya on Shabbos. Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch says don't. The ramah says go for it. Says that Panovich Rav, the Gevaldik Panovich Rav, who was known for being an out-of-the-box thinker, so much out-of-the-box that the Chazon Ish left learning by him because he was so out-of-the-box, the Chazon Ish thought he wouldn't be raised well, okay? It's a shver story. The Panovich Rav was known for being a very, very out-of-the-box thinker. That's why they wanted him in Panovich. That's why they wanted him to come to Eretz Yisrael. They said, we have enough, right? We want to out-of-the-box thinker. So he writes this, V'omra al-Zer Rabbi Panovich, De'ein kan shum chash. Says the Panovich Rav, what happens if the father is the one who does the chaticha? We keep on talking about splitting the chaticha and the priya. The Beis Yosef says you can't, the Ramah says you could. That's all talking about, says the Panovich Rav, if there's two milim. You have Pesach Kron and you have a son-in-law. So Pesach Kron does the Chaticha, his son-in-law does the Priya. That's Machlokes Mechab and Ramah. But what happens if dad does the Chaticha and Pesach Kron does the Priya? What's that? So most of us say, well, what's the difference? Says the Panovich Rav, number 18, the Enkan Shum Chash. If that were to be the case, there's no problem. Even the Beis Yosef would agree it's mutter. The Choma, the Asa Beis Yosef, Zeh Kshash Kan, Shnei Moilim, Echel Mo, Vechel Para. Avo Ba'aviya Ben, Harei Misha Pare, Hu Harei Ashliach, Shalaviya Ben. What's happening? Dad has to make a Shliach for Mila. So when Dad makes Pesach Kron a Shliach, so Dad did part one, and Dad did part two. He did part two alumnus. He did part one by himself, and he did part two through alumnus of Shlichus. So it's that. Okay, good. What's the problem? Dad did both.
Yeah.
So the first part he did really, and the second part he did lumnusly. So beautiful. What's the problem? So the obvious kash is, and when I point two more, and I point two shluchim, so it should be the same thing.
Right.
So he writes over here in the Sefer, I don't know who this is, but he writes, it's called the Ha'aris B'mila. Okay, it's a nice name of a Sefer. Number 19, he writes, 1 second. Onim yesh lo demad b'chab nesav atzma shiasa achitach. He said, let's go back a step. Let's try to understand the Panovich Rav's chashbon. Why taka was there a minug? I don't know if it's still today, I never heard of it. No one offered me the right to cut my son's arla, not that I was looking to do it anyways. But I guess if you are medically trained, it's probably better to do it yourself. But
my friends
are
doing
that. Yeah, if you taka are, you know.
Yeah, I want to do my wife was ready to kill me.
Yeah, okay. If you know what you're doing, you know. But okay. So he writes like this. What was the cheshbon of the Panovich Rav? The Panovich Rav argued if you are the chaytich and someone else is the who does the priya, there's no problem. Why? So he writes like this. What's the inyan for you to do the chaticha? Is it because everything's better to do yourself than to hire a shliach and cheaper? No, because what over here the chash is, you're worried that the sheet of hashach, the shach holds shalom mahani shlichus. Why was there a minhag that dad does the cutting? Was it because you wanted to get the mile of mitzvah by yosim b'shluchay, or was you afraid that there really is no shlichus? Now again,
why should there be no shlichus by mila more than any other mitzvah?
You got to go back to Shir Samach, Shir Aleph, 64 weeks ago, and we talked about it. Now just keep in mind, Rabbi Yisai, even if there's no shlichus, that doesn't mean the kid's not come out. It just means that you're not going to get the mitzvah. Avada, the kids gemal, because that's a reality. The mila was cut off by a baruch yuva. It just, you won't be misyachis the mitzvah back to the father. This we spoke about before, that not every shlichus works the same. As opposed to if there's no shlichus and a guy gives a ring to a girl, and there's no shlichus, then she's not married. Okay? So he writes, so what's the difference? If that's the cheshbon, which means avada. The only reason my dad should do it himself is because the mitzvah yesh mevav shluchay. But avada shlichus works. So then we hear the cheshbon of the part of it shirav. Aval im mishum shechashashu v'hashach shloim hani klas shlichus b'mila. But if the pshat is because of the shach, so he says it doesn't make any sense. Why? Because you don't hold the shlichus. So if you don't hold the shlichus, so when the guy does the priya, he's not your shliach. So if he's not your shliach, then he's working on his own. So if he's working on his own and you're your own, so it's two people doing the mila and the priya. So he tainas ulechein oisim shemiktas yasa abul shlichus imkain yishkachal Shabbos. Dalatzach shloim hani shlichus imkain o'av lekai mitzvah mila shloi. That means the dad didn't do his mitzvah. The dad only did chaticha. Someone else did the priya, and there's nothing connecting the two of us because according to the shach, we can't be connected through shlichus. So I did half and you did half. That's the same thing as two milim doing half.
Well, obviously, the Panovich Rav doesn't hold up.
That's what you're saying. The only way to understand this Panovich Rav would be that the Vadar Panovich Rav didn't think the Pshan and the Minig was because you don't hold the Shlichas. It was because of Mitzvah Yishma and Shlichas.
So, why? What's the difference then if I appoint one Shlich to do the Chaticha and one Shlich to do the Priya?
Okay.
Still both related back to me. So what?
I was considered I did both.
Both my Shlichas.
Yeah, so they caught the Biskir Rav didn't like this Panovich Rav. He didn't agree to that. But I hear the Ara. Why do you say the same thing? Now, there's a piece of Achiezer Belinet that we'll have to leave it for next time, where Reb Chaim Oizer discusses Shaila, Ma'ov loy para. Fine, and now you want to do the Priya. Do you need to be Matav Dambris? If you hold, you didn't do a Priya, so everything is zeros. So you can't just walk in and do a Priya, you got to restart again. So we'll Belinet will talk about that, then we'll talk about some other Shailas, and then Belinet we'll move on to discuss other Inyonim. Belinet, the next Sunday, we'll be discussing Megillah related to the Sugya.